Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Season 6, Episode 133. Let's start another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Koller, Nolan Hames, and Sander Johnson.
I'm Troy Koller from TLC Creative Services, Inc., and we're based in Southern California. And I'll just give you guys the quick update. I'm currently in Mexico City, so hopefully the hotel Wi-Fi and my travel microphone will both cooperate for this episode. And so what I'm doing out here is I'm handling the graphic support, aka I'm the PowerPoint person for an event. I've been a tourist in the city. Pretty amazing city to be around. I've eaten at several of the local restaurants. Pretty amazing food. Mexico City, and it's my first time here. It's a pretty wonderful location. Weather has been great. I've gotten downpour rains every now and then by surprise. anyways. And then I leave from here to go almost immediately to Las Vegas. I have like a 18 hours at my house type of thing. And we're doing a very large event for that. So everyone on the team is super busy. We are, let me get this. We're not doing the presentation design. It's all physicians speaking. We did, the continuity graphics, themes, stuff like that. We are coordinating the speaker ready room, which has over 90 presenters. So we have to gather in all the presenters, get their presentations handed off, get them out to there's three ballrooms. We have a digital signage system across the conference area that we're managing. And then we have a virtual conference platform. The virtual conference platform for this event, because it's a hybrid event, is our VXP brand. So we're also doing this, 2,500 person attendee, 6-day event, and we're live streaming every session. And we're actually have techs in the ballrooms capturing all the content from the AV guys. And it's just, so things are basically a happily busy presentation world for TLC Creative Services. How about you guys?
Awesome. Well, speaking of downpours, we went from drought state in Minneapolis. This is Sandy, by the way. I'm in Minneapolis. We went from drought state to 3 days of torrential rain and flood warnings and all that stuff. It's just crazy. But the reason I bring that up, yesterday I'm the backup on a 400 attendee conference. I create the slides, but there's a producer at the corporation, and then there's the person who runs the event someplace else. And electricity went out. And because of the redundancies built in, I was at work because I was safe and had electricity where I was. It was able to be turned over to me, and I ran the darn thing. It was pretty amazing. And again, it's only for 400 people, but no one
at that event
realized that we were having technical difficulties. We got it taken care of 30 seconds before we went live.
There is a stressful time period.
Yeah, it was a stressful time period. But other than that, I'm really busy with the traditional work that I do, templates and slide libraries and sales presentations and infographics and fun things like that. Some of which I think we're going to talk about today, aren't we, Nolan?
I think so. This is Nolan from Montclair, New Jersey, where it's quite nice today. We also had tons and tons of rain last week. So we're winding down a couple of projects, a couple of template projects, hoping to get everything done by the end of today, because I'm going to be at the beach all of next week. Going to try to take a vacation if we can. Some of those template projects were going back and forth with the client. On one of them, I've had to say more often than any time in the past, well, if you go back to the initial scope, if you review the contract as per the contract, and ironically, this client is a law firm. No surprise. So feel like for the first time, the client, the contract, which you clearly haven't read. But anyway, we're getting through that. Last night, I had a catch-up call with our friend Tom Howell from Synapsis Creative in Australia, which was really nice. Just nice to, I just urge you to do those kinds of things. It's just in this time we're living in, you forget or don't even know what's happening, like really with the world and other parts of it. So they're locked down have been for weeks, and it's a lot going
pretty
on in Australia.
From what I understand.
Yeah. But
speaking of it being a global thing, who had the odd hours? Because going to Australia is, New York to Australia is a pretty big span. Oh, did you stay up late, or did he? Or
no, he. It was 10:30 his time and eight or nine my time. After the girls go to bed, and that's when I do my Australia talks when I have to.
Wonderful. And that's things. Nice. We have all had a busy summer with lots of project kickoffs, a lot of new clients, and that means we have gotten a lot of questions and requests from those clients. I would venture to guess that none of us have heard anything really new, because when you've been in business for a long time, and this kind of applies to any type of business, I think, when you've been in business for a while, you tend to get the same questions over and over from clients. So we decided to go over the things we hear most often from clients and our typical responses to those. Here we go.
Okay, let me start. This is my absolute favorite question. Can you make it not look like PowerPoint?
Oh, we hear that all the time. I want you to do PowerPoint, but not really. I mean, do you ever get that from other, you know, other industries? I'd like you to paint the house, but not make it look like paint.
Can it not look like a brochure?
Exactly. Right. It's going to be a trifold, but I don't want it to look like a trifold. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we hear that all the time. And often one thing I say in describing what we do is that we endeavor to make things not look like PowerPoint. Of course, what we're hearing, I think the theme of today is maybe that the title of this episode should be client translation or translating clients. It's like those movies where there's like a crazy dad inventor who invents something so you can understand the dog, right? Like the dog barks and you're like, okay, now I know what you're trying to say. So what they're trying to say is they don't want it to look like bad, stereotypical, right? You know, old school PowerPoint.
Bullet points.
Lots of heavy, chunky bullets. And
And of course, square picture on the right.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, PowerPoint, of course, you know, Keynote, Google, anything. It's a blank canvas, and we have to explain that, and we do it over and over. And of course, we have to show. So, you know, I say, have you looked at my website? You know, yes, we can do that. And of course, you know, we also say, well, we can do, like, if you want we can do it in InDesign, meaning like if it's more for print, or we can do it in PowerPoint, but it'll look like InDesign, meaning it will look more traditionally print-like. So, yeah, I mean, of course, we get that all the time. Sandy, what's your go-to answer on that?
Well, like I said, it's my favorite, and I always say, yeah, I can make it not look like PowerPoint as long as I'm in control of the design and the content and the story flow, and it'll look beautiful. It's going
to
look
like that's a
big if. That's a big if, exactly. But I mean, for the most part, often the feedback I get from my clients is they get questions about which program this presentation was built in, and that's a big compliment, I think. When we get that kind of response.
Yeah, we get that a lot too. And years ago when Keynote was, you know, still younger, we would say a lot like, oh, is that Keynote and not PowerPoint? I'm like, well, no, it's not. But what's the difference? Like, people just sort of assumed that if you're using PowerPoint, it can't look good. And they assumed when they didn't know so much, like, oh, that must be Prezi or that must be Keynote. Like, it doesn't matter.
How about you, Troy?
I got the Keynote thing all the time because we worked, you know, both worlds back and forth. And it was pretty funny you could tell because PowerPoint has certain animations, certain transitions. Keynote has certain animations, certain transitions. Granted, Keynotes are more visually oriented, where PowerPoint's always been a little more, you know, we got to get the content out there, and it's never had a focus on the, you know, the smoke, you know, the thing drops, the little smoke comes up, the sparkle effects. We do all those in PowerPoint, but we have to do them manually. So it's not like, you know, anybody's going to take it on themselves. So can you make it look like PowerPoint? I think it's maybe frustration on their part. They're like, we just got to make this, we got to use this tool and we don't know how. I feel my common answer, kind of along lines of what you were saying, both of you actually, is I just say, absolutely. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're a design team of professional graphic designers that make PowerPoint look amazing. You know, it's kind of funny. People come to us because we're a design studio. I mean, everybody on staff is a trained graphic designer and they want to look better in PowerPoint. Well, what's your perspective? We can probably assume, and that's what we do. So I just kind of like acknowledge it. Like, yeah, let's move forward. Skip that question. So right. Here, let's go on to the next one. How about this one? How about this one? So I'm going to go a little more technical. So you get the clients that that want a client, that want a template, you know, corporate client, individuals, whatever. And here, do you guys get this one? Can we have the template that users can just, you know, like drop the content into and have it look all good? Or can you make the template so that all of our existing slides will update to it automatically? Questions like that?
Oh yeah, and I say, oh yeah, you want the magic button? Yeah, sure. That's, that costs extra, but nobody knows about it. It's the we get that too. And I literally use that phrase all the time. I was like, well, there is no magic button. Yes, there's PowerPoint Designer. We'll get to that, but you know, that's as close as we're getting. But I think I've said this before. I just told a client this the other day. Basically, when clients come, and whether it's for a template or other things, basically they say our presentations, you know, are terrible and we want to up our game. I say there's the three legs to what I see it as three legs to better presenting in an organization. The three-legged stool. I know that's a tired metaphor, but one leg is tools. And like templates and slide libraries and image libraries and things we'll talk about today. So one is tools, those like boilerplate and templates. And then the second leg is training on how to use that or best practices. And I always say, I can give you those two legs. The third leg is a presentation police, meaning, yeah, I'll teach everybody how to do it. I'll give them the tools. But if then they just go back to their old habits, if they don't use the template or use it incorrectly or use bad, you know, if they go get bad clip art and I'm not, and nobody is there saying stop it, then, you know, I can't help you there. Yeah. Sandy, what do you've got to hear this all the time, right?
You're correct, Nolan, but a boilerplate collection, a slide library is one solution that kind of helps with that. And this is the one, seriously, of all thousands of presentations that I've done, I can tell one successful story, kind of. So one of the clients that I work for has created these roadshow libraries. They have 10 or 12 product lines, I can't remember, and they have presentation decks, that old word deck comes in there, but of a library of slides. It's in a story flow, but it's really designed for people to take the template from which these slides have been created and copy and paste those slides into that template. And that has seemed to work for this organization. It's a division of a very large company, so it doesn't go outside of, I'd say maybe it's limited to 100 people have to use it. So it's not a huge corporate-wide thing. And it's been working really, really well.
But those slides are, they may not be in the template to begin with, but those are the boilerplate. That is the content. That's the
yes.
And that's the biggest thing that I tell people. Like a template is, I don't think a template is complete unless it has boilerplate, unless it
that's
has-
right.
slides that you can steal from and use as is or adjust something, because I see so many templates that are just blank pages and a design that's hard enough for a designer to sort of go with. You need something to start working with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need something to start working with. You need to steal from yourself. You need to like edit something that already exists. That's the biggest
thing. Well, just something else you said, Nolan, too, is what's key though is you need to have someone in charge of those slides. You need to have someone who's regularly connecting with the users, regularly updating the slides and refreshing them with the most current information. And for this organization, that's all done manually.
Yeah, kind of related to the last couple of questions together. Whenever I talk about using icons, I always ask people to raise their hands if they have a corporate icon collection. And invariably, out of a room of 30 people, two people will raise their hand. And then the other 28 turn to look at them and say, we do.
Really?
and that's kind of what we're talking about. Like if people don't know that the tools exist, that's, you know, they're just going to keep doing the old bad stuff.
Well, first, I'm so glad we all have the same frustrations and the same answers for the most part. This is pretty awesome. But Nolan, on your side point, on your point there about the icon libraries, we tend to treat the presentation as the everybody brand style guide, because a lot of corporations have brand style guides. Marketing team, Marcom, you know, very few people actually know it exists and have access to it even. So we say, listen, we're going to simplify this down to the key rules. Your PowerPoint template should convey those. In addition, let's add a icon library maybe, or more importantly, your corporate logo. Let's put it on there in a format they can copy and paste it from, yeah, so they have a source for it, because everybody has the corporate template, but very few people get that. Anyways, yes. So yeah, well, we get that question all the time. Okay, yeah. Give us another question.
All right. Can it look like an Apple Steve Jobs keynote? Right?
Okay, Nolan, answer it. Answer
we've
it.
All heard that, right?
Oh my gosh.
And the answer is, of course, everyone.
Of course, well, you can.
Sure, yeah, it can. But as I have to explain, provided your content looks like an Apple Steve Jobs keynote. Mm-hmm. And right, mm-hmm, that doesn't mean you have to sell phones and computers, right? But it means you have to have the discipline to put four words on a slide, or one picture, or one simple graph, right? Because not every Apple slide looks like that. If you do some searching on the web, you can find some bullet points now and then. You're like, oh, there's too much there. But content affects design. So if you insist on having 12 bullet points on a slide, Mr. Insurance, you know, executive, your content's not going to look like, you know, that of Steve Jobs.
Oh, that's so funny. There's a meme going around of this little baby trying to sit on a toy chair. You know, I'm showing you, it's like 2 inches by 2 inches. And it's, that reminds me of my clients who ask for the Steve Jobs slides. They want that, but they don't realize that that content that they're giving us that they want on the slide, that timeline that they have to have on the slide, or that table they have to have on the slide, they're not going to be able to sit on that. They're not going to be able to present that.
That is such an awesome analogy.
That's so funny. Have you ever seen a table in an Apple presentation? It's usually four cells, right, that fills the screen.
Oh, my gosh. No, I didn't think I had, but okay.
They used to have, like, it's like a grid of four things, but yes. Yeah.
It's magic quadrant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, so I get this request regular basis. I mean, and I think I have a pretty good answer that helps people think about what they're actually requesting, because I think that's a lot of it. We're more along the lines of, let's kind of guide this conversation. And I think my common answer is, let's see, off the top of my head, is something like, you know, can you design something that looked like an Apple presentation? And I just go, absolutely. But are you envisioning an all white on white styling with a single image or a single call out word on every slide? Because you have to be a really, really in tune presenter to convey that messaging, and your audience doesn't have much of a takeaway. Or I said, maybe you're thinking more like the streamlined TED Talks that have consistent visual styling. They have a flow to their content. They have a way to identify the key points on each slide. Is that, you know, where are you looking? And I let them kind of go off on it. And they usually back away from the Apple thing and they go into the TED Talk thing, because that gives me a little more freedom. But it's like, we will have some content, but we need to manage it to a manageable level or something. Anyways, yeah, yeah. We get that.
Troy, that's great. Yeah. That, no, that's you guiding them. Oh, I'm sorry, Nolan. Go ahead.
No, go.
Oh, I was just going to, Troy, I agree.
And then I say we could use the magic button that Nolan has.
We need to start practicing now is the next thing. That's the difference. Jobs practiced and practice. And the TED Talk people, they've got, what is it? How many minutes? 6 minutes? I can't remember. But they have to practice every single slide. And I think most companies, the people there, don't have that time or the ability or the desire to practice that much.
Yeah, there used to be, I think the link is dead these days, but there used to be an article out there, basically behind the scenes, written by some executive at Apple, behind the scenes of a Steve Jobs keynote. And it was brutal. I mean, it just Ooh. Talked about all the technical backups and the, you know, the weeks that they really put into that kind of thing. But Troy, to your point, like, yes, it's always good to clarify what the client means. That white on white styling, that tends to be the advertising, because their mm-hmm. presentation slides are dark. Actually, it's usually that like dark purple gradient thing, which they.
But everybody thinks of the iPhone, the anything packaging. Yes. You know, that's what they remember.
Anyway, could we talk about how terrible Apple's advertising has gotten recently? Oh, okay, no, different podcast.
Different. We'll do that next time. So, how about this? Can you build a full featured Google template for us?
Nope, and that's where I hang the phone up.
Let me give you Bethany's number.
Exactly. Yes. Slide Rabbit. Mm-hmm. If you need somebody that can do it well, I just am not. I get asked once or twice, but I either guide people towards to PowerPoint or I'll hire Bethany to do it. I'm just not I know it's the software the kids are using, but I'm just not fond of it. It just, and I'm not, maybe I'm too old to teach a dog new tricks or something, but I don't know. You guys,
it's a different level of options, but Sandy, what do you say? Cause I got to hear this.
It's just, it really varies, but here's the situation I'm in right now and we're in proposal stage. The client wants a slide library built in PowerPoint, but used in Google Slides.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. That was going to be my answer actually, is that I hear the request all the time. But what I hear is we want a template that'll work both in PowerPoint and Google Slides.
Yeah.
Cause they're both, this is kind of weird. You can't get anybody to admit a slide is a slide. Like a slide is an open canvas. We can design it good. Or we can design it poorly. Or no, let me say that. We can design it good, or you could just put words on it poorly. Maybe that's what I'm saying. But all of a sudden when it comes to templates, they suddenly really, they think that everything's the same. I'm like, they're not the same. That's the message I've been trying to say, is that it's how you use it. But these are two totally different platforms. I mean, the same thing with Keynote to a degree, but there's just no back end to Google Slides in comparison to PowerPoint is my takeaway.
It's just not as full featured. Troy, have you ever had a project where you've had to create it in Google and PowerPoint and Keynote for a client?
Keynote. Yeah, we do the back and forth. We actually just did a large, this was great because it was a designer in-house that wanted to use the Keynote animation effects. But the presentation, the whole event is done in PowerPoint. And it was an ultrawide. This just happened weeks ago. So this isn't like, hey, pre-COVID, there are big events coming back. So we got to design, it was very exciting, an ultrawide presentation. And their internal person was taking care of one of the key executives, was going to animate it. And they're like, well, I have to do it in Keynote. I was like, you do not have to do it in Keynote. So they took our template, put it in there. All they wanted was the three back plates. And they designed their whole thing, exported as videos. We ran those in PowerPoint. So we get back and forth.
You did that round trip where you created the animations in Keynote.
And they gave us the videos. And then we had to re-render them because the file formatting was wrong and actually adjust we had to make them work in PowerPoint. It worked great. But it was like, to the earlier point, it was like literally those are Keynote effects. Most people don't get to see them, but the sparkly things coming across when it animates on, when the wipe on with sparkles, that's a Keynote thing. You just can't do it in PowerPoint automated. We do it all the time. We have libraries of what we call sparkle and glitter. You know, they're pre-animated. We use them all the time. You want a Disney one? We got the Disney stars. We do them for Disney all the time. We got the, Fairytopia for Barbie. We got it. Anyways, it's just a more painful process.
Yeah. Joel Simmons does that all the time. Because he loves working in Keynote. So he loves all his effects that he'll output to video and then bring them back into PowerPoint.
Yeah, if PowerPoint could just support alpha-based transparency on video, it would solve or just raise the bar of so many things. Okay, anyways, full feature Google template. First of all, Sandy, Nolan, I don't think it exists because full feature to me is the PowerPoint tool set. Mm-hmm. It's much bigger, probably more so than anybody really needs. And people don't know what they're missing. And the second thing is, no, you can't make PowerPoint and Google Slides work one template work for both. It just, there's no back end.
You can export, you can import, but it changes things.
Okay, so Sandy, you brought this one up, and I'm kind of curious to hear your guys' answers. Can we have a custom icon or image library? What do you guys say to that one? Do you get that question?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Usually, well, I mean, a custom icon library is generally a little easier because that's going to probably live in PowerPoint. And we often do that. And it could be as simple as here are a dozen icons on a slide, or like I just did one with like over 100 icons that we put together. And Sandy, I know you create a lot of your own. Generally, I will source or edit ones. I'm not, usually not doing them from scratch. But that's a little easier because that lives in PowerPoint. An image library has got to, I mean, it can live in PowerPoint, but we don't necessarily recommend that. But those are going to have to be stock images that you're sourcing from stock sites. If it's not, if they don't have an, you know, an owned collection that they've, you know, had produced. And there are certain stock sites that will allow you to basically purchase images and then assign, reassign the license to a client and for them to be used by an organization. But those are going to be, it's going to get more expensive because that's not your typical license. That's going to be the advanced license, the premier licenses, and it's more complicated. Mm-hmm. And usually I have that conversation with a client and usually they say, never mind. too much, or, you know, we're just going to continue using our own Getty license that's only accessible by the designers or whatever.
Oh, side note on this kind of pro tip here. This could be a pro and tech tip thing. I know a lot of people have utilized video blocks. It's story blocks. So they have video blocks, audio blocks, and I don't know, whatever they call their image thing. Read your licensing if you're using that. They just put out a new end user agreement and they're changing their tune. We've been using this company since they were, you know, under another name, and we used to get their stuff delivered by DVD. And they had open, literally we buy DVD collections from them of stock video. It was an open-ended license, so you could transfer it to your clients, no problem at all. And they've just changed it so that only the license holder can legally use the video elements, which is what I'm most concerned about because I don't really use their image library and everything. So if you're on the story blocks thing,
I did
make
not
sure
know
you
that.
Look at it. Just happened in the last week or so.
So wait, explain. Just go over what story blocks is.
Story blocks is a stock site. They really focused on audio and video, and then they added in imagery and maybe in font collections and stuff. They're a great, great resource. They were cheap. I mean, $150 a year for unlimited use of video elements was phenomenal.
Wow.
And the licensing let you use it globally and hand it off to any client. They have now changed. You basically have to – okay, let me rephrase that. They have changed their licensing, and you can't give it to your client unless you have a business license version package. So that $150 a year, it's a wee bit higher, like with an extra zero on there plus sub. So it's become business level, and we're debating if we want to use it because I actually love their resources. Anyways, so back to the idea of that. Let me ask this question though. Can we have the custom icon library? Can we have the custom image library? And Nolan, you brought up a really good point, is the images can't live in the PowerPoint. So the question beyond that is, I'm really curious, how do you guys deliver it? Is it in the template? Is it a set of slides? Is it where do those things live?
Well, I haven't done it for
the client.
Yeah, I rarely do that. I mean, generally what we would recommend is that they live on some sort of shared server accessible. So it would just be, you know, here's your 30 images or 50 or whatever.
Okay.
In one case, actually what we did was we created a, because they had a Getty or iStock collection or subscription, we simply created a curated light box for them that they, because you can send light boxes to people. So we sent it to their account and they're
that's
like,
a brilliant idea.
That's a great solution.
So we did all the image research and just didn't deal with licensing at all, which just makes it easier. And we should, I want to hear Sandy, what do you do? But we should point out, I know we've talked about this before, we do use stock imagery all the time. And let's say there are a dozen stock images in a template in boilerplate that we give a client. We've gone over this before, but the license says that the client can use those images however they want in the context of the design. So if you put it on a title slide, you can use it. If you put it on a agenda slide, you can use it. What you can't do is extract it, that image,
right,
even though you have it, put it on a website, or even technically, I'm sure the lawyers will argue over this, but you can't take it out of the title slide and use it to create a new content slide. Technically,
that's kind of what I was going for, is because if you deliver it in the design product, which is the presentation, a lot of the licensing allows it to happen. But if you just give them a folder full of images, that's a whole different level of royalty. Okay, let's get off that topic because that is a huge topic. But Sandy, what do you get the request for icon library, image libraries? I know
Icon all the time. all the time. And like what Nolan mentioned, that I include them in the slides. One client in particular who I'm working on a slide library with wants them both places. They want them searchable. So I have to make sure that they're named appropriately for searching, mm-hmm. but we're having tagging issues. And we'll, I want to talk about slide libraries in a bit here, but it's become quite a challenge searching for those icons, SVGs, that are on an image library. I don't do photo libraries.
So, okay. And you know what? Yeah. I think you're right. You mentioned a slide library. I interpret it from our other conversations. So Sandy, ask us about slide libraries.
Okay. Well, the question we get from the client is, can you help us build a slide library?
And you're working on a bunch of those right now, right?
Yeah,
I want to hear how do you do this?
Right now I'm one project in proposal stage. I'm in an audit phase. I want to see how they're storing their files currently, how their key people access the files, what kinds of slides they have. So typically it does start out with an audit, no matter what. When we get into actual implementation, I mentioned that one of those clients is using a traditional SharePoint folder structure, but we're struggling with tagging the slides and the files because of group permissions. And that's something that's like over my head, right? Mm-hmm. So working on that with the IT folks at this company. I've built a couple of templates and presentations for clients that were put into a slide management system by the folks at Shuffler. I don't know if you're familiar with that slide management system, but
we are. We've met them at the mm-hmm. presentation summit over the years, right?
Yep, exactly. And, you know, it's fun designing, but I have to change everything I've ever learned about working in PowerPoint to work in that environment, because while templates are used, slide samples are what clients access.
And like slides, pre-built slides?
They're pre-built slides that don't necessarily have a slide layout behind them.
Oh.
That's one-to-one. There's a slide layout there, but you stretch
modify
that.
Modify it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's
okay, got it.
It's an awesome tool. I have a lot of learning to do there. And let's see here. Oh, yes. I mentioned this. I'm in the proposal stage of creating a third one. Third library who wants their presentations created in PowerPoint, but uploaded to Google for storage and presenting. I have no idea where we're going with that, right?
So Shuffler is one of, I think there are about a half dozen, probably more, of those slide management tools. Yep. And they're usually cloud-based and mm-hmm. they require real buy-in by the client. Like not cheap and mm-hmm. it's an enterprise thing. I've never actually worked with anybody, and I've had the conversation a lot with clients. Like, yeah, you can do this, just like you can have custom macros built, but it's an investment, and you got to mm-hmm. like get into it. And they're like, never mind.
Yes. How about you, Troy?
I think I'm like Nolan here. Surprisingly, well, actually, I'm not like Nolan.
You're taller.
We don't do it. We don't do slide libraries. But unlike Nolan, who says he gets requests, surprisingly, I don't think I've gotten that request or question a lot. I think the last time it was brought up, the project I can think of was several years ago. It's just not a topic that comes up. So this is one of the ones where I'm going to say, hey, I don't get it. And I don't know why. Maybe that's a problem with us. But I do have to throw something else out there. Picket Images.
Yes.
They went really big, and we were testing it. And then we kind of got sidetracked because we got really busy. They have a great image and icon library feature, and you can use it as a corporate slide library, Sandy. Mm-hmm. And it works really well because you get to upload everything and you get to do it all cloud-based, or they will integrate with your – I mean, the licensing is so reasonable compared to most. I know it's a big feature they're working on, and we were experimenting with it, but they do kind of bridge that gap. So that's another option.
I'm so glad you brought –
Oh, go ahead.
I'm so glad you brought Picket up, because so Picket is I think it started just kind of as a image stock site, but now they have they have an add-in. So just like the Noun Project add-ins mm-hmm. or, you know, things within PowerPoint that you can set up your account with them and then you can upload. It becomes a digital asset management system where you can upload logos, images. They also have stock images within there. So you can upload all that your client, that your employees can pull from exactly. instantly. Mm-hmm. And you yeah. can manage it through a back end. And it, as you said, it's very reasonable compared to some of these other things. It's very easy to work with. And you're right. They want their plan is to get slides in there. I don't think that's available
it's
just
there.
Yet. Oh, it is?
Well,
it?
They have to, well, hold on. We're using maybe a beta run.
Yeah, I haven't
that's a
played
good question.
With it in a while.
It is very cool. It is definitely an option for the small, and what it was really made for is the smaller companies that don't yeah. have the Office 365 enterprise level, because that's what you need to do all the integrations. We used it for ours. We have our TLC logos in there. Cool. We have a set of libraries. We did icons. We did a whole bunch of stuff with it. It just kind of like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, ooh, I should probably get back to those guys yeah. and say sorry that we dropped the ball on communicating with you.
Their website says welcome to the world's simplest digital asset management system. And it's pretty simple. Yeah, I mean, you can also, we just also should throw in Adobe Creative Cloud. You can also access within PowerPoint. So if you're on that, you know, can't do slides, but you can bring in images and icons. And things
okay. like that. So now that you mentioned Adobe Creative Cloud, see, I had this in the back of my head. I actually have I'm not a part of it because I'm going to be out of town, but our team is on a corporate brand training. It's one of our long-term clients, very large corporate entity. They are, and I did not even know this was an option. So you guys tell me, their whole icon library is accessed through Adobe Creative Cloud. So we have to have a Creative Cloud as designers. They will give us permissions to access their library. Now, I don't know if that means it's images that they've curated because, I mean, Adobe libraries are pretty cool. But anyways, they're using it as their corporate branding for all their for all their Marcom divisions. And I'm very curious how they rolled it out. So yeah, a bunch of on our team have a hour and a half training on it next week. So we'll see how that works.
And if you are working with Adobe Creative Cloud, look at our episode. I don't remember what. We had a two-part episode with Mark Heath.
With Mark.
All mm-hmm. about Adobe and Adobe Creative Cloud and using that. So
that's when I started diving into it. I was like, wait, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Like it's like you don't know what you don't know. I didn't know. So I had to go, okay, give us what's another question clients ask?
All right. I know I've mentioned this before. This is my white whale, my bane of my life. Can you create a graphic that visualizes our entire company's process or strategy or mission statement? It's so big and complicated. We think you can make a simple visual that will distill down everything that we do, our 100-year-old billion-dollar company.
Thank goodness you had the magic button, Nolan, to get those things done.
Yeah, it's called Smart Art, and it'll take me 30 seconds. And so I hate having this conversation, but I start off by saying it's probably not possible. And I have done them successfully occasionally, but 75%, if not more, of these endeavors and projects end in failure, meaning we will go down that road. And the enemy of this thing is words, content, and arrows, because we will try. you'll give me a 4-page mission statement or whatever, or something you tried to put together, and it's got 18 boxes and arrows, and I'll try to distill it, and then you'll circulate it, and people will start adding boxes back in and adding arrows back in and saying, no, it's not a linear process. It can go the other way. But then you can jump from any process to any process, and you can do this, and you can do this, and then let's make it 3D.
There are consultants that focus on just this.
Are
and,
there?
And, oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are branding and mission statement consultants, and they are very valuable because they'll help distill the information. Right. They're like, you have a thesis. We need a statement. You need a core element that everybody can work from. What you're trying to do is say what they're allowing is everybody to say their division or their piece of the activity is a part of the core mission. No, the core mission is